Welcome, listeners, to First World Voltage. let me tell you the dumbest thing, though, we've experienced with ours. And it's this. We had a problem with squirrels who buried into the car and built a nest into the car. We have two Teslas, right? And in both of the cars, at the same time, we had squirrels who buried inside the cars and built a nest. And we were like, this has got to be like the weirdest thing ever.
How did they get in?
They go in like through the wheels. They go in through the open holes in the wheels and they go under the front of the car. And when I searched online, apparently this is quite common. And the reason why is because Tesla coat the electrical wiring in food grade soy. The squirrels sniff it out and they bury a hole in your car and make a nest in there.
That's amazing.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Once again, welcome to a show that I believe is still called Bad Voltage. My name is Jeremy. I am joined, as always, by Jono and Stuart.
How have
you all been? Yay. It has been a hot minute.
Yeah, it's been, what, 6 months?
It's not quite been 6 months, but we have had a troublesome few months in between COVID and people being away and conferences and just all sorts. What a nightmare.
It's not been 2 weeks is what we'll say. But
it has not
contrary
been 2 weeks.
To the rumors that may have been spreading, we did not pod fade. And here we are, like I said, once again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hooray.
It's exciting to be back.
It is exciting to be back.
I took the time while we were away to actually look up Jeremy's middle name. And would you believe it's actually Jeremy? His name is Jeremy Garcia.
The joke that will not joke fade, I will say.
I also just want to clarify something that Jimmy went onto our Bad Voltage Slack and basically said, you know, it's a bit worrying that there's only been one episode. Hope everyone's okay. And I responded to Jimmy and wrote this, frankly, pit of lies, that the reason why we've not been doing a show is because Ack really got into K-pop, and that Jeremy was snide about K-pop. And I just want to be very clear about this. None of that was true, because I know these things can sometimes get out of control. So Mr. Langridge is, in fact, not into K-pop.
I think this episode is sponsored by BTS.
We will leave that a mystery. We will merely say that if I'm suddenly into K-pop, that's not the cause of the show fading away.
Yes. Also, Jeremy's not into extreme ironing, which was another lie in that particular response. So
what scares me about that is either it exists or two, it exists and you are a fan. And there's like an hour of you just on YouTube watching extreme ironing.
I can't decide whether is this doing actual ironing in an extreme way, or is it doing perfectly ordinary ironing just halfway up the Matterhorn or something?
That one. It's a real thing. People literally will iron at the top of the mountain.
Okay.
It's the stupidest thing ever.
I summited Everest, like, but more important, I ironed on the top of it.
Yeah.
I don't even like ironing in my own living room. Yes. Let alone the north face of the bloody Iger. Who wants to do that?
Now that we have quorum on ironing, what do we think we're going to cover today?
Why don't you, we'll do some news, because some things have happened in the last 5 months.
There's been quite a lot of it. My goodness, yes.
Do you want to kick us off, Mr. Langridge?
So, I will do. So, one of the things that has happened over the last few months, and basically I'm looking to have this explained to me because I don't get it. The US government is apparently requiring ByteDance to sell TikTok. And then TikTok are considering making a US-only version, and then it all seemed to die away a bit, and then there was a thing from the Supreme Court only a few days ago called Net Choice, and there was a decision made there. And like, so basically, when there's a policy I don't understand, because this is, I have no idea whether this is a good idea or a bad idea or what? Like, I don't know enough about it to know whether I support this or don't support it or anything. So my basic policy is pick the side with the fewest assholes on it. And that's the way to go. And to be honest with you, this policy has kept me in pretty good stead over the last few years.
Yes.
But as far as I could tell on this, there is no guide with that policy on this. There appeared to be an equal number of assholes on all sides of this. So I'm interested in, first of all, having it explained to me what this is. But secondly, what should I think about this? Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? I genuinely don't know. And I would like to know, if only because it seems like a big deal. And I am also outside the United States of America. So are they going to come and repossess Farmbound? I don't know. I mean, what's the deal with this?
I would just like to point out the paradox of someone from the EU questioning tech regulation, which some of the EU decisions recently
have
been fascinating.
No, yeah. This is exactly the point, right? Because there will be some people who are just against the idea of tech being regulated in any way whatsoever because the boy kings of Silicon Valley should be able to do whatever they like. I am not like this, as we have previously discussed. Yep. So I didn't see this and go, this is a bad idea because it's attempting to regulate technology. Not at all.
Yep.
But it's hard to find out from anyone whether this is basically they're a Chinese company and Chinese people aren't allowed to be popular. Only American companies are allowed to be popular, or whether it's actually TikTok is a massive psyop by the Chinese government in order to take over the minds of American teenagers, or what? I do not know enough about this to even understand what the motive for it is. Even ignoring the motive, will whatever they're aiming for actually happen through banning TikTok? Will it make any difference? What? I don't understand any of it. The EU regulations, I understand, and I understand the reasons for them. This, not so much.
It's not just because they're a Chinese company. I mean, there's plenty of Chinese companies doing business in the US, right?
We should definitely have a show about EU regulation, but this is not that show. So there's a lot to unpack here, and I unfortunately have not had enough time to jump into the NetChoice decision to have an opinion. It states that tech platforms can exercise their First Amendment rights through their content moderation decisions and how they choose to display content on their services, which is being interpreted as a strong statement that has clear ramifications for any laws that attempt to regulate platforms, algorithms in the name of kids' online safety. And it definitely impacts the law that could ban TikTok. The thing that's interesting about the banning of TikTok is there's been a couple different layers of the word ban. There's been some states that have said, if you work for the state, you cannot have it on your device. There's been an attempt to say, if you work for the federal government, you can't have it on a federal government device or a device that connects to that network. And then there is the divestiture of TikTok from ByteDance. And those are all unrelated things.
Right. Okay.
So the First Amendment, of course, wouldn't apply to states. The First Amendment, while it gets thrown around constantly, really only applies to the federal government. It's been interesting to see who's on which side here, because your filter probably is not working as it normally has, because this one has been like legitimately all over the map. So I haven't seen a U.S. version of TikTok. The two things that I have seen are a U.S. version of the algorithm specifically. So the app would be the same, but if you were in the U.S., it would use a different algorithm than anywhere else. And I've also seen, at least it was proposed, cannot attest to veracity of said information, that ByteDance offered the U.S. federal government a quote-unquote kill switch. So if they felt like something was happening in the moment that TikTok was fueling, they could just, I guess, blanket stop TikTok. I didn't see a lot of details on it. So there's so many different layers to this one and so many different motivations from different sides that it is certainly an interesting story.
Well, I've heard as well, I read somewhere that this is happening, but I've also heard this through the grapevine that there are multiple individuals who are privately fundraising to generate enough money to be able to buy this and to be able to operate it. Because clearly there's a massive audience in TikTok, but it's the thing that I've always been confused by this is it's not like this is going to be completely separate to the Chinese company, to my knowledge, right? Like the issue with this primarily, I mean, outside of there's a whole question around, is social media healthy for teenagers? Which I think we'd probably all agree it's not, and it's especially unhealthy for teenage girls. That's been proven with Instagram. Putting that to one side is the amount of information that TikTok inhales from its users is absurd. And it's like, if they completely firewall that off from China, that's one thing. But I don't know how you, I don't know how you make that separation. Like, there's always, I would have thought that there's always going to be some kind of connection there. And it seems like, from what I understand, and I've not researched this, that TikTok inhaled less information than they did when this became a massive controversy 2 or 3 years ago. But still, there's that connective tissue to China. And while that's the case, they're always going to have legal issues, I would have thought. Quite rightly so. Like, if information about American citizens is being inhaled anyway, that's a problem in itself. But if then that's going over to China, and there's no direct evidence that it's going to China, it's all speculation from what I understand.
Right. There's a few things there.
It's fair to be concerned.
So obviously, I agree with the privacy concerns about this, but that doesn't seem to be people's issue. There's a lot of conflating of different problems here. So yep. There was a lot of concern about TikTok's gathering an absurd amount of data. And you're like, yeah, that does sound like a problem. Why not have a law which stops people doing that? What a good plan. But there is zero effort in the US to do that. We're going to ensure that big companies in tech can't collect loads of data off their users. So then you get, okay, so why is it a problem then? It's a problem if it's going to China, apparently, but I don't know.
Pause for 1 second. Do you think that the government should, I mean, we're not talking about illegally gathering information from users, which yeah. TikTok has not been gathering anything illegally. But do you believe that the US government, for example, should be restricting what information people can gather?
Well, yes. I mean, as I said, I support a lot of the EU regulations for exactly this reason. Right. And we could do it.
And how do you define that? Like, how do you define what information is okay to gather and what information is not okay to gather?
Well, the first step to do this was the DMCA, the EUCD, which did not work out very well. The second step is the DMA. And so we're seeing privacy law, privacy regulation, grow, a better understanding of how to solve this problem for real over time. The EUCD, which is the cookie directive thing, was obviously ineptly done. The goal of it was okay, but they completely buggered it up, failed to anticipate the problems that it would cause. And so, okay, that didn't work out very well. And they're aware of that, which is why the DMA moves quite a lot on from that. But so this is the point, right? Regardless of your opinion on whether gathering this information or not is okay, there seems to be a lot more concern about TikTok doing it, perhaps because they have ties to the Chinese government. But I don't know whether this is genuine concern about what the Chinese government will do with those American citizens' information, or whether it's Reds under the bed 1950s scaremongering, or whether, I mean, sure, if you're in America, it's like, this thing's going to China, and that's terrible. But I'm not in America, and no one in America seems to have a problem with American companies gathering my data. And they're also in another country to me. So if the pitch is, no, it's different because China is somehow uniquely worse, I'm prepared to listen to that argument. But what I've heard is a lot of people asserting that, and not a lot of people actually demonstrating it.
But I think it's fair to say that the relationship that Chinese companies have with these large relationship the Chinese government has with these large Chinese companies, Huawei being a perfect example, shows that they get a lot of their marching orders from the Chinese government. And when you combine that with the Chinese government's efforts when it comes to espionage, I mean, what was it? Huawei installing secret radio listening devices in the US, for example, a couple of years ago. Like, the US government, I mean, there's lots of flaws in the US government. There's lots of flaws in big US companies. But I think the risk is lower.
So also, my perception is, most of the people that have an issue with TikTok, it's not just the data that's being consumed, regardless of the entity that is inhaling it. It's that the algorithm is opaque and can, because of the number of viewers and the time spent on the app, can sway opinions for things like elections in a way that is very difficult to predict and very difficult to stop. So I think it's less about the data and more about the algorithm.
Right. So this is what I was saying about how there are lots of different things being conflated here. So yeah, one aspect of it is it's gathering all the data, whatever, but no one is talking about regulating Facebook or making them sell it off to someone else or whatever. But completely separately to that, yeah, you've then got the influence that TikTok has over people. But again, I'm not seeing very much call for YouTube having to do something about their algorithm or Twitter.
Are you kidding me? These other companies, they've been holed up in front of Congress tons of times about their impact on society. There's no
especially
doubt.
Especially YouTube.
Yeah, the YouTube and Facebook.
Are they requiring that they sell the company? I mean, they haven't hauled up ByteDance in front of Congress to make them answer questions about their algorithm. They said, we're going to make you sell this.
No, I think this is where they're different. So this is how I would look at it.
Right, this is what I'm trying to understand, right?
I think all social media companies, bar none, are coming under increasing scrutiny from governments and people about their aggregate influence on elections and, you know, health and whatever else. And I think that's fair and reasonable because they're all part of the same problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference with TikTok specifically is I think the US government, and I think it's relatively bipartisan if I remember correctly, there is significant concern primarily because of that connective tissue to China. I think they're treating them differently for this specific issue. I think there's the same set of concerns about the influence of TikTok on elections and whatever else, but I think it's seen as particularly concerning because of that connection to China. So they get a level of scrutiny that Facebook and YouTube don't get.
Okay.
And I think it's quite I'd say that's quite reasonable. In the same way that Huawei massively restricted in what they can do in the US. Because time and time again, there's been more than enough evidence that connects them to the goals of a hostile government to the US.
And honestly, I think that concern is worth thinking about, but then that ties back into things like my support of the EU regulations about this, where a foreign government has a great deal of influence over people in the EU and they want to put a stop to that. And it seems like a very similar kind of a thing, which is why,
yeah,
as I say, I'm not against the idea at all. I just don't understand it. And when I tried to read up about this, I didn't get a lot of clarity and I did get an unbelievable billowing cloud of bullshit and accusations. And I'm like, I don't even know what the truth is here. Please, more intelligent friends, explain it to me. Which
I'm generally of the view that I'm not a big fan of government regulation specifically to technology. And we talked about this previously about, for example, USB-C in Europe. Like, I think it's good that the EU is wanting to reduce.
The US have done a thing called BC. I don't even know what that is, but USB-C. Right, I get it now. I was most confused for a sec.
And if I remember rightly, Jeremy and I were both of the view, we don't like the fact that they mandated USB-C, but we agree with reducing overall waste and things like that. And that's kind of where I think about with this. Like, I don't like the idea of governments saying what kind of information can and can't be gathered legally.
Yep.
But where I do think there should be regulation is clarity of how helping consumers to make those decisions. Because what happens right now is it's all buried in terms and conditions. So to me, like if TikTok or Facebook or YouTube want to gather all the information in the world about me, I don't mind that so long as I can very clearly see and know what I'm opting into. To me, there should be regulation around that. Because I think what happens is people just click yes. It's like the South Park episode about terms and conditions.
Everyone just clicks yes. So two comments now that I actually understand what you were asking. The reason that this uniquely applies to TikTok in a way that it does not apply to Meta or YouTube or any US entity is foreign companies do not have First Amendment rights at all.
Okay.
So Meta, as an American company, has a First Amendment right.
Oh, well, good for them, but, I guess. Right, okay.
But I mean, so that's the answer to you why some of this would apply uniquely to TikTok is because they are a foreign entity. And, and therefore don't have – so it would apply to a European company. It turns out there's so much tech regulation in Europe, there are no European internet companies from what I could tell. But that leads to my second point is a lot of how the EU looks at these regulations, in my opinion, if they continue down the path they're on, a whole bunch of tech companies are just going to pull out of Europe because they represent, in most cases, about 8% of revenue. So if it's costing them 15% of revenue, because a lot of the way Europe is looking at this is the fines are on global revenue, which why EU would be able to get a fine based on global revenue boggles my mind. But if the fine's 15% of global revenue and the EU represents 8%, they're just going to be like, cool, if you're in Europe, you can't use the app, which you're already seeing, like Apple Intelligence, not available in the EU. And I think you're going to see that accelerate, and you're going to have to make a decision at some point whether you want to have reasonable regulation, which I think is probably no surprise to anyone that I'm in kind of the center on this one. I think there needs to be reasonable regulation, which in many cases there aren't. But if you go to unreasonable regulation, what's going to happen is you're just not going to have access to any of the new stuff.
Yep, which has always been the primary from the critics of the EU. Was the primary criticism, right? Was just regulation went nuts. And I don't know enough about the EU to really know if that's fair or not. But that, I know that was the primary criticism.
We should maybe do a whole show on that for exactly that reason. Because
it is interesting.
They largely have made that decision. And that decision is people who live here's privacy is more important than these things. And if the deal is you can't have these tools, we're going to go home and take our ball with us, then okay, see ya. Now, whether that will actually work out for them is another question entirely, but as far as I can tell currently, that's the thinking. So it will be interesting to see if that goes ahead. And I feel like a lot of companies go, oh, well, we're just going to pull out of Europe. They're like all the people who are moving to Canada if someone wins the election, right? Never actually happens. But...
Yes.
But it will be interesting to see what, because I think if you're right and a lot of these tech companies do just bail, a lot of people will be upset about that and then we'll see votes change things. But
so I don't know if you'll see wholesale bailing in an effort to protect their reputation, but also to show a little bit of loyalty and good faith. What you'll see is what Apple did is you just don't get any of the new features. So it's not like they're not going to sell iPhones. They'll just sell an iPhone that is half as useful as it is in the rest of the world.
The market's too big. The market is way too big for companies to pull out of Europe. It's just never going to happen.
It's not. 8% is nothing.
Which to my mind is exactly the point. But yeah, this is a whole separate show. I mean, we could make this show, but... I mean, we could do this. There's so much to talk about this. So much.
No, it's super interesting show.
We are entering, I believe, well, we have already entered, but we are at the beginning of a very different regulatory environment for technology than we've been in for the previous 10 or 15 years. Things are gonna change. whether that change turns out to be a good thing.
So was I just way ahead of the curve? Do you remember a prediction of mine? It might have actually been 2 years ago at this point, where the internet was going to bifurcate into three internets, and we'd have like a Sino internet, a European internet, and an American internet. So I might have just been way ahead of the curve.
I am seriously starting to think that what we should be doing is we should be, at the end of the year, reviewing our predictions, not from the beginning of that year, but from like 3 years previously. Because I think they're basically all on the nose, apart from Canonical.
We should do a roll-up of all of our predictions over time and see how some of the ones we thought were hilarious at the time have actually come true. Or like, it would be an interesting...
It would be funny to see like how accurate we've been at all across all time periods. Like,
we should totally do that. That's really good. Well, we can do that.
Next two shows right there. See, we don't do a show for a while and the ideas are just...
Yeah.
As I said...
Machine for generating show information.
We haven't lost the magic. It's great.
Okay. So that is interesting. This is a really big topic. I mean, obviously... The notion of the TikTok thing specifically balloons into a whole big conversation about what is regulation for and so on and so forth. But I think that helps clear up a lot of what it's about. anyway, which is very useful. So that answers my question. Thank you. I will be interested to hear what other people think about this. Like, maybe everyone who isn't me is completely on top of this case at all times and understands all the ramifications and so on, but I was very confused. So, Jono.
There is another piece of news that kind of struck my eye recently, talking about big societal shifts, and that is that Tesla's share of US electric car sales has fallen below 50%. Now, I thought this would be an interesting conversation because I know we all have varying views on Elon Musk and Tesla.
Yeah.
My take on this is overall, I think this is a really good thing because it strikes me that that means that the overall market of companies building electric cars is growing. And, you know, as the owner of Teslas, I think they make great cars and I've been very happy with ours. Like, you know, even years on from getting them, like they're excellent cars, but they've always been traditionally very expensive. And you know, I don't want this conversation to be about Elon Musk really. It's kind of irrelevant. I mean, he runs Tesla of course, but Tesla is not just Elon Musk, but I think it's good that there's more choice in the market. The prices of electric cars are going down. I think it's good that there's been competition towards Tesla. I still think that they're producing, in my mind, probably some of the best electric cars out there. But what do you guys think?
I mean, I think this was probably inevitable given a lot of the way Tesla approaches the market. I think, while not making it about Musk, the two things that have become clear is he's super distracted in a way that is going to be a net negative for all of the companies he's involved in. I think if he was solely focused on Tesla, they would be doing a little bit of a better job. But not only is he not solely focused on Tesla, that they have diverted their AI chips, which are critical to how well they are differentiated in the self-driving market, to other of his own companies, even though Tesla is a public company, strikes me as wild that it hasn't gotten more press. But I do think decisions like that show that he's not fully engaged with Tesla specifically. Yeah. So
hang on, just so I'm clear on that, why? So, for example, him taking the AI computers from Tesla and selling them to SpaceX, why do you think that's not a great decision?
It's not that it's not a great decision. It's that you have a fiduciary duty if you're the CEO of a company to do what you think is best for that company. So by taking chips that were expressly allocated, so clearly right now NVIDIA chips are in such a shortage that having them is a differentiator. Right, you're seeing VC companies buy chips to then lease to their only to their portfolios. That's how differentiated chips are right now. So to take something that you were allocated to a specific company, and then say, just joking, I'm going to give them to XAI, is clearly I would say a breach of fiduciary duty to the company that you took them from.
I'd agree if the company is going to suffer as a result of that. But if you've got surplus, would you say the same thing?
No, nobody has surplus.
No, I agree with you. I just want to get a sense with, like, if there was a surplus, would you have the same view? Or is it primarily because you feel like they're basically taking some advantage from one company and feeding it into another company?
No, if you had a surplus, then selling the surplus would be fine because it's not something that you would use. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the way he pitched it as, because I didn't get my bonus, I don't trust AI at Tesla, I'm going to push it to XAI or whatever they called it, is clearly, like, the fact that he says some of these things out loud is just not in his own interest. But anyways, getting back to your actual question, I think Tesla was super, super differentiated for a long time because they were willing to take risks, specifically with self-driving, that no other major manufacturer was willing to take. If you look at the Fords or even like the Mercedes, they felt that their brand reputation didn't allow them to take the risks that Tesla took. And because of that, Tesla was super, super far ahead. With all the other organizations now catching up and feeling like it's less of a risk to enable some of the features that Tesla enabled years ago, They're a much less differentiated product now. Having been in almost every Tesla model, I think, at this point, they're clearly cars not made by a car company in a way that, like, a lot of the details are really, really frustrating on the car side. The technology side, that doesn't apply. So I think between the deficiencies on the actual car side and the differentiator of their software going away slowly, their market share eroding over time, was almost inevitable. And they were a little bit ahead in batteries as well, especially on the cost side. And again, like just technology advances, people are catching up. So less other competitors are also a little bit cheaper now.
Where do you think that they are deficient when it comes to the car side? I mean, I know outside of like getting parts and services are fucking nightmare, right?
So parts and services, but just even how they designed like the trunk in the three. If you live anywhere that it snows, when you open the trunk, all the snow goes into your trunk. No other car has done that forever. And it's one of those things, like it was designed by people into computers in California specifically.
In California.
Yeah. And they weren't like, oh, this is a car. It's viewed as a software that has wheels and not this is a car first that has great software. And in every single detail it shows.
I think you had a bunch of people who were like, wow, man, the car industry, they're all hidebound and they never have any original ideas. And they're all just locked into their own thinking. We're going to come in and bring newness and new thinking and new ideas. And a lot of those ideas were good and new and they were correct about the hideboundness, but not everything. And a lot of the institutional knowledge and tacit knowledge and expertise, just for stupid things like how do you make a boot that opens without dumping all the snow into your car?
Yeah. Well, here's a question without turning this into a Tesla review show, but I'd just be curious for your perspective, Jeremy, because you got a Tesla, right? You got it like a Model 3, is that right?
I used to. I got rid of it because it was too
frustrating. Oh, you got rid of it?
Yeah. The third time it didn't work for 3 months, I got rid of it.
So what would you say? You may be answering my question here, but when those flaws that you've seen on the car side of things, how significant would you say they've been? Like I live in California, and so for us, it's primarily parts and stuff. Like, we had a kid accidentally run into the back of our car one time, and his mum did the nice thing of like leaving a note and going through the process, and like a little fender bender, and it was going to be like $10,000 to replace it. It was just insane. It was going to take 3 months to get the part. Like, it was ridiculous, right? Yeah. And their service centers are terrible.
So
right?
I think it's the 3 month part is far too consistent. Like in a perfect world, I think Teslas are great cars, very reasonably priced, and really did change my perspective on what a car could be. Genuinely, I don't say that mildly. Like it legitimately, the fact that every time you got into the car, it was a slightly better car and a slightly cooler. Like the system upgraded so often and in such a positive way that it really makes you think, like, why don't all car companies do this? But the other parts, the 3 month thing is so consistent that your car's going to get hit. Your car's going to, something's going to happen to it. It's just the nature of how things work. And if every time some kid hits your car, you don't have a car for 3 months, like at some point it becomes untenable to me. And it's so consistent. There seems to be two types of Tesla owners, ones that love their car and have never gotten anything happen to it. And then those who have had something happen and are like, I can't believe I didn't have a car for 3 months.
This is like how everyone has to get burned once to do backups.
Yeah.
you get burned once by grazing a thing in your Tesla and then it costs you 10 grand to have it. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Because the thing is, the way the sensors work, if one gets damaged, they have to recalibrate all of, like, the things they have what seem like minor things are just.
But that sounds great. They're like their problem, not my problem.
So welcome listeners to First World Voltage. let me tell you the dumbest thing, though, we've experienced with ours. And it's this. We had a problem with squirrels who buried into the car and built a nest into the car. We have two Teslas, right? And in both of the cars, at the same time, we had squirrels who buried inside the cars and built a nest. And we were like, this has got to be like the weirdest thing ever.
How did they get in?
They go in like through the wheels. They go in through the open holes in the wheels and they go under the front of the car. And when I searched online, apparently this is quite common. And the reason why is because Tesla, they used to, I don't know if they still do it, coat the electrical wiring in food grade soy. The squirrels sniff it out and they bury a hole in your car and make a nest in there.
That's amazing. I did that.
The stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's,
if you want Tesla summed up in a very short story, that is the story.
That sounds very how can I say this without being too offensive? Very Californian as a story.
That's why I made the First World Voltage joke. This is stupid.
My car had its wiring eaten by squirrels because it's made out of soy and it cost me $10,000 to fix it. Yeah, this is zero World Voltage right here.
They need a new tagline. It's It's like Tesla, outrageously fast and also delicious.
The one thing I would say, though, where I think an area of credit that Tesla deserve, we always talk about the tech and the cars overall. I think people generally like the look of them. Some people don't like the look of the Model X, think it looks pregnant, whatever. But the one thing, I remember seeing this when Elon Musk went on Joe Rogan. And one of the things that he mentioned, which I thought was really interesting, is he said the hardest bit of making these companies is not the technology. It's not coming up with a cool product that people want. It's manufacturing. He said manufacturing is really hard and nobody talks about it. Like, how do you build these things at scale, whether it's a rocket or whether it's a Tesla or whatever else? And I think one of the things that I think was that they did was they shortened the timeline from designing a thing to building it. Like all the you know, the gigafactories and everything that they've built out, to me, is the real accomplishment of what they've done. And they've also taken that now into SpaceX. I saw this video the other day of a guy who was like being toured around the space, one of the SpaceX like factories. And I think that's one heck of an achievement in terms of what they've, I think that's one of the reasons why they managed to level up in the market is to Musk's defense. I think his two genius moments were, or three were, one is make a car that doesn't feel like a typical car, to Jeremy's point earlier on. And that might not be Musk, but it wouldn't surprise me. Two was supercharger network. And then three was really build out their own manufacturing process. And these were massively capital intensive propositions. Whereas I think for the other car manufacturers, like, let's figure out how to build an electric car and we'll do it within our own existing manufacturing process because that's what we know. I think that's what's taken them longer to get there.
I think so. I'll add one thing, and I think it's larger than those three. And I think it was uniquely Elon Musk, is he made electric cars cool. Before that, when you thought of electric cars, you thought of the Prius.
Yeah.
And it was entirely different. Like, he genuinely changed the perception of an entire industry, which is
annoying.
Like, I don't know that change happens without him uniquely, not Tesla.
Yeah.
It's interesting, the point you make about, you know, how do you do manufacturing at scale? I grant you that I don't know how to do this, but it's not like no one was talking about it. Toyota know how to do it, right?
Yeah, but I think the difference is, and the definition of not an expert on this, is from what I understand, the way they manufacture the Teslas was radically different to how traditional cars have been manufactured. And part of it was the use of robots.
Now, bear with me, I believe that, but what's going to be interesting, and which I do not know, and I'd be interested to hear from people who do know, is now that everyone else is catching up, have they caught up by abandoning the manufacturing methods they know and doing it more like Tesla, or are they building Tesla-like cars on the existing manufacturing?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either, because looking at the thing, people were talking about how the desire for electric cars is shrinking in the US. But as far as I can tell, and according to a couple of articles of it, it isn't. It's just Tesla is decreasing sharply and everyone else is going up not quite as fast. If you look at the graph, but you take Tesla out of it, it's up like 33% year on year. So I'm absolutely prepared to believe that if you say, okay, we want to do manufacturing a different way, we're not caught into any of the existing ways of doing things, but you've got complete green field here, design something from scratch, then you can get it up to speed a lot faster than someone who's got to take a factory which has been running since 1931 and make it produce solar-powered wheels or whatever, right? But it will be really interesting to see whether those advances, now they've been brought into a more traditional manufacturing environment, can be done at scale without the problems that Tesla have had.
Yeah.
Tesla also didn't have a very large existing business that they had to argue with resources over. Like, they only make one type of car.
Yeah.
So if you're any other manufacturer that we're talking about, you had a bunch of people at the top who made their whole careers doing one thing, probably not super interested in burning the boats. The other thing with the trend line of electric cars, and it's become super clear to me that 2024 is going to be a very weird year when you look at charts historically, is so much demand was pulled forward because of COVID in so many different areas that it's going to look like demand dropped off, but it's not. It's just we're catching up with demand that was pulled forward. And once we chew through that, I think you'll see the trend line continues. But I think you're going to see a weird bump in the 22 to 24 range because demand was massively pulled forward.
Well, okay. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think the whole problem is that the Cybertruck's just completely stupid. That's like the only problem. Tell me I'm wrong.
It's a fascinating design.
I saw someone had a picture of a dumpster with a Tesla Cybertruck logo. And it actually looked really, the shape of it looked remarkably like an actual Cybertruck.
Have you seen one in person or have you seen it just online?
I've only seen on screen. I don't even know if there are any in the UK.
I was going to say, can you buy them? I don't know if you even know if they're available to buy in the UK.
I don't think so. And how would you get it here? I mean, like on a boat, maybe. It probably weighs about 8 tons. They've had 4 recalls of it already?
I see them somewhat regularly in the US, but...
I see them. There's a bunch around
here. They have to be everywhere.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think they look dumb online, but when you see them in person, they're pretty cool.
It seems like they didn't remember that it's a truck. Do you see the article where the glare that's caused by the weird body angles is actually like a major safety issue?
No.
Because it's blinding other drivers.
For me, the Cybertruck is one of those things whereby, it really divides people, right? We know this. But
what, into people who want their windscreen wipers to work and people who aren't bothered?
But a lot of the, I'm not saying this is you guys, but a lot of what I've seen online is I think people being snarky about them doing something different. And it bothers me when people get overly critical and sanctimonious about someone trying something new, because I think that's the only way in which we get to new things. And the one thing that I do like about the Cybertruck is it's the only car or the only truck that I've ever seen where a concept model actually became real. Because we always see these really cool concept cars and you're like, I want one of those. I mean, I can't afford one, but I want one. But then it's never available. You don't see them around. And then that's you just see boring cars.
And so you see, now that's interesting to me because to give you an example. So many, many years ago, 12 years ago, back when Top Gear was good, I went to watch a filming of Top Gear and they had a concept car there. It was a Honda something or other, right? So not some kind of amazing supercar, but it was still, you know what concept cars are like? They're all amazing and they've got weird door handles and stuff like this.
Yeah, it looks like Tron.
And I thought, that's cool. Why don't they do like door handles like this? And then you look into it and you realize the reason they don't is because they look cool, but then you can't open them if there's a fire or whatever. And a lot of the reason that, so I will absolutely grant you, there's a lot of hidebound thinking going on. There's a lot of people who aren't prepared to look beyond the thing, but there's also a lot of people like, we can sweep away all the current knowledge and thinking about this stuff. And you're like, not all of it's there for a reason, but a lot of it is.
A good bit, you know? A good bit for sure. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Which is why you get things like, the glare off of the front of it blinding other drivers, because you know car manufacturers elsewhere would go, well, you can't do this because it'll blind other drivers. But they're like, no, this looks cool. We don't have to think about this, right? But then equally, you're not getting this kind of shape off of anyone else, and maybe they should be. I think it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see having that new thinking injected into a very traditional industry, cars, is probably no bad thing, right?
Yeah.
But what you want is the flow together of the two of them, not all one side or all the other. And that, after a little bit of a hump from the, oh, this is all very new and exciting, we're now seeing actual real people start to go, okay, we've got to think about buying one of these to go to Walmart in. Yeah. and so we're seeing, every other car manufacturer ramp up and Tesla ramp back down again.
This is the reason why I think people who are critical of the glare thing, it's completely reasonable because you're being critical of the actual product that it's there. What annoys me is people who are just being sanctimonious and judgmental because it's different. And it's like, that's fucking stupid, right? Like, we don't get better things unless people actually put their neck out and try something new. But I think it's very reasonable to say, yeah, but what you built doesn't work.
Sometimes you push the accelerator pedal down and it stays down because it gets caught behind the trim. But this is a really serious problem.
Like, to me, the humane AI pin that came out, right? I commend them on trying something new, and that screen that they've got that shines on your hand and all the rest of it. And that's cool. And I think it's cool that they're trying something new. But from what I can tell, it is the poorest quality product ever released in the history of anything.
Right. This is the thing. And I think some of that is, if you put out a product and say, you're going to say, well, this is marketing and it's important. But if you put out a product and go, here's this thing, and sure, we're trying to change the world and it's kind of experimental, I don't think people would have as much of a sense of joy in watching it die on its ass. As if you stand there and go, we're going to create a whole new product category and no one needs smartphones because they'll buy an AI pin. At which point, literally everyone wants to see them fall down the stairs. And then when they do, you just laugh.
No, it's true. It's the this is the equivalent of Conor McGregor getting the shit kicked out of him by, because he's talked so much smack about that other guy. And it's like, oh, it's so satisfying to watch. We are revolutionizing the future of how technology and humans interact. It's like,
It's like, but in that case, everyone wants you to fail. And then when you do fail because you're actually shit and you know you are. But yes, totally, right? Stop making such grandiose claims and people won't be so gleeful when you die on your ass.
Yeah, under promise, over deliver.
On which note, Microsoft.
On that bombshell.
Yeah, we should drop this in really quick before we wrap up.
I've got a very quick one because I know we're at the end here. But Windows Recall. So, did you see about this?
Yes.
I'm interested in your quick thoughts on the idea as a whole. So, to summarize very quickly, for people who hadn't seen this, the idea here is that basically your computer takes a screenshot every 5 seconds or something, stashes it all in a database, and then you can search through it. It'll OCR the screens. And then you basically have a visual history of everything you've done, which you can scrub back through, you can search for. Seems cool. There has been software which does this for years. Right. There's Reming for the Mac, for example, which you can just download off of GitHub. It's right there today. You can do it. Microsoft decided they were going to do this and then just built it into Windows. And the pushback was volcanic. I cannot think of anything which has received a more full-throated kick in the testes from literally everyone than
the humane AI pin.
that was
photo finish.
That was amusement, not suffering. People just laughed at that. the Microsoft thing, everyone was like, do not do this. And I'm interested in your brief thoughts. It's been recalled now, they've stopped doing it, but what do you think? Is this something which is actually a really useful tool and just Microsoft can't do it? Or is it that even Microsoft could do it if they hadn't tried to wedge it in without asking anyone? Or should no one do this or what?
I'll give you my brief thoughts.
Do it.
Nah, that's it. No, just no.
You don't think it's useful?
I think it's a terrible idea and it should never exist.
So I'll take a slightly more nuanced approach. I fundamentally understand why they thought something like this would be useful. Obviously, Windows still has the largest install base, which means they have the least technical install base. And I'm sure a large portion of non-technical Windows users think, wouldn't it be great if I could just ask my computer? 2 weeks ago, I was working on this doc. I don't remember the folder. I don't understand folder structures. I don't remember the title, but the topic was X. Pull up that doc. And your computer would dutifully answer. And I'm guessing this was Microsoft's answer to how we can actually accomplish that for real, given the technologies of today.
Mm-hmm.
That said, it's a terrible idea. So I think I get the motivation, but this is likely a sneak peek into the world of computing 5 years from now, and it's a little bit terrifying.
See, now that to me is interesting, because that's not how I feel about it. I think it's potentially a useful tool. Right. As I say, there are
useful and terrifying.
Well, so we'll get to that. So there are people who have talked about building stuff like this. As I say, there are things around which already do this. If I was using a Mac, I probably would have installed this thing because it seems like a very useful way to do it. I think Microsoft can't do it because no one fucking trusts them, right? Partially just building it into Windows so everyone gets it, whether they know it or not, is terrifying.
The having to opt out, not opt in, was a spectacularly bad decision.
Right, yeah. There's a whole bunch of genuine, proper safety issues and concerns with this. You know, people monitoring what other people do on this machine, being able to track stuff down, yanking all the data in the universe out. It becomes the most high-value target on your computer for anything that wants to steal. So I understand all of that. And therefore, maybe on balance, it shouldn't exist. But I think the big problem is people do not trust Microsoft with this. And you go to them and go, hey, Microsoft, how are you going to promise that you never decide to yoink all this useful information out and store it in the cloud for our convenience? And they go, we probably won't do that. No, no, you're like, no, get fucked. Absolutely not. You totally cannot be trusted with this. So I think the major pushback was people made out that it was about the functionality of the thing. But I think it's the functionality of the thing in conjunction with the fact that it's Microsoft doing it involuntarily.
I don't think anyone will trust any company to do this, but especially Microsoft.
I was going to say, you're going to trust a startup who has no security controls at all and a CEO who just wants to hit the next home run? Like that seems materially worse than trusting a very large organization.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, like I say, I don't think I'd recommend this to other people necessarily, but I would happily download code which did this and run it on my machine for my benefit because I think it would be useful. But that's not a product that real people could use. So I don't know. I mean, as I say, I can see on balance why you might go, I can see the value in this, but it's not possible for it to exist in a sensible way, and therefore it should not exist at all.
You use sync thing, don't you?
Yes. And Dropbox. But yeah. So
yeah.
That was the thing. I thought it was interesting the level of pushback against it.
Yeah, I to me it was completely expected, the level of pushback against it. Like how could they not see this coming? Yes. With that bombshell, we should wrap up the show.
We should, yes.
And we'll see you in 6 months. See you. No,
don't say that. Because now it'll be 6 months and we'll be like, oops, and sort of shuffle off.
We have two great show ideas that I am sure we will make happen
in the next 6 months.
And some that's
2 weeks from now. Somewhere in between those two things.
We will endeavor to get back together. The reason why everyone is that Jeremy and I are to blame for this. Yep. It's not Mr. Langridge. We have ridiculous schedules and it's been a crazy year. So none of this is Mr. Langridge's fault, but we will endeavor to put more shows out.
Thanks for listening.
We will do what we can. We'll see you soon.
Yes. And thank you, Marius, for editing.
Thanks, Marius.
Nerd Zoom Media.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Marius. I mean, he's not had to work very hard for the last couple of months, has he? But yes, go to, if you want a brilliant editor who is happy to work as much as work as you're prepared to give him, even if you don't give him much, Marius is our sound editor, sound engineer. Go to nerdzoom.media to get his stuff.
Sounds good.
Okay, cheers all.
Peace out.
Cheers.